Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 187, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. And what follows, Psalter 187, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, that can be found in Zechariah 12. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 24. Zechariah 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. As saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, and the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, and the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart. From the Confession of Faith, as we find it on page 16, the back of the Psalter, Article 24, Man's Sanctification and Good Works. We believe that this true faith being wrought in man by the hearing of the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Ghost doth regenerate and make him a new man, causing him to live a new life and freeing him from the bondage of sin. Therefore, it is so far from being true that this justifying faith makes men remiss in a pious and holy life, that on the contrary, without it, they would never do anything out of love to God, but only out of self-love or fear of damnation. Therefore, it is impossible that this holy faith can be unfruitful in man, for we do not speak of a vain faith, but of such a faith as is called in Scripture, a faith that worketh by love, which excites man to the practice of those works which God has commanded in his word, which works as they proceed from the good root of faith are good and acceptable in the sight of God, for as much as they are all sanctified by his grace. Howbeit they are of no account toward our justification. For it is by faith in Christ that we are justified even before we do good works. Otherwise they could not be good works any more than the fruit of a tree can be good before the tree itself is good. Therefore we do good works, but not to merit by them. For what can we merit? Nay, we are beholden to God for the good works we do, and not he to us. As since it is he that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let us therefore attend to what is written, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. In the meantime, we do not deny that God rewards our good works, but it is through his grace that he crowns his gifts. Moreover, though we do good works, we do not found our salvation upon them. For we can do no work but what is polluted by our flesh and also punishable. And although we could perform such works, still the remembrance of one sin is sufficient to make God reject them. Thus then, we would always be in doubt, tossed to and fro without any certainty, and our poor consciences would be continually vexed if they relied not on the merits of the suffering and death of our Savior. We hope to remember in prayer Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who was admitted to the Calgary Hospital by renewal, and Davy, the 5-year-old son, Ryan and Polina DeBook, who was discharged this day from the hospital. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty, and most righteous, most holy, but also merciful and ever faithful God, we are living witnesses thereof. We and our children may still have a place on top of the earth. And then in this evening, the opportunity to receive a place in thy house. And we humbly beg of thee, may thou richly dwell and work amongst us. Magnify thy grace in the hearts of young and old. Give some rest in thy house, that all the daily labors and the cares, they may be left outside of thy house, although in prayer, then we are called to lay them all before thee. 'Tis a week of preparation in the midst of the congregation. Do impress it upon all of our hearts that our whole life is a time of preparation, that we may be prepared to meet our Maker in righteousness and peace. To that end, wilt thou work lovingly, irresistibly by thy Spirit. And, our Lord, do remember the unconverted. Oh, may in a week of preparation, wilt thou make it all reality, what it is, to be unconverted, without hope, under thy wrath, but a step between us and death. But, our Lord, thou still profferest peace and pardon, till still proclaimed that thy dear Son has come into the world to save sinners. May thy truth, thy word, may that be our guide and our light, whereby we may examine ourselves. And now thou hast a people upon the earth that fear to offend thee, to wound their conscience, and to bring a reproach upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Souls that are bound to thy throne and to thy word. And then it is so necessary that thou granteth by thy Spirit that they may see more clearly, believe more strongly, love more fervently, hope more ardently, to obey more cheerfully, to walk more joyfully, to be more humble, and to be more thankful. Thou hast the people upon the earth that fear to belittle their sins, but also the fear to belittle the blood. Thou as a people upon the earth that learn more and more that it is all of grace. to be given to experience the exceeding sinfulness of sin, to be a mourner in Zion, to shed thy tears that are gathered in thy bottle, but also by an eye of faith, to be given to look as a bitten sinner, as a dying sinner, upon the serpent, in the Old Testament, a beautiful emblem of the dear Son of God, who was hung on the cross with those outstretched arms, inviting sinners. And now, Lord, thou knowest most perfectly that many a times thy true people, they exclude themselves, look within the circumstances, not what they ought to be, not what they like to be. But, Lord, thou hast promised to never forsake the work of thine own hands. And it is clearly written in the scriptures that thou art not a land of outer darkness. Oh, thy people desire to experience in special ways thy special presence, to hear thy special testimony, and to feel thy loving embrace. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then grant by thy Spirit that true preparation to thy true people? 'Tis thy table, and it is thy glory. Wilt thou also remember our boys and girls, our young people? May there be amongst them that are exercised with these most holy things, with such a jealousy to belong to that blessed people of God. Wilt thou bless thy word in the family circles, bless thy word in the church, and bless thy word in our Christian school. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, the Jewish people, mission field, our mission field in Bolivia, and that people in Peru. We commend unto thee all the suffering upon the face of the earth, all rivers of tears, and even rivers of blood, the countries where there is war, where there is turmoil, where there is unrest, where there is hunger, where there is want, where there is cold, the great multitudes and hospitals and institutions of mercy, those in prison, and then the billions that are walking upon the earth, also traveling to a never-ending eternity. No religion, a false religion, heathenism. Ah, Lord, then what a blessing and what a privilege it is that in this evening hour we may yet have a place in thy house. May it please thee to crown it with thy richest blessing. Remember the many tried and the many afflicted, the handicapped daughter in the hospital by renewal, so often already, infection, May it please thee that there may be means that may be blessed, but, O Lord, above all, may it please thee to work by thy Holy Spirit in her young heart, where there are many concerns, many fears, how long it shall all continue, also in the family circle. And then there is one thing needful. Oh, when we remain unconverted, then to be sent to the place where there shall never be comfort. But when we may be prepared, when we may possess that true grace, then to be received into glory, where there shall never be pain and never weeping. The parents were privileged to take a little son home. Many tests that have come back positive, waiting for more to return, have received encouragement, but the physician's not sure yet, although certain indications. May thou remember and bless further. May there be means. May the calling be sanctified, make it profitable in the midst of the family circle. We commend unto thee all those with special ways under the physician's care. Many a trial, many a fear, and many a concern, they seem only sometime to multiply. Do grant a place at thy footstool, so far that it may please thee, may the means be blessed above all, the calling sanctified. Remember not only the difficulties of the body, but, O Lord, do also remember the difficulties of the mind. Remember the loved ones. We remember all those that are overwhelmed, distressed, because of all the temporal trials. May we be more overwhelmed and distressed concerning the spiritual needs. May the prayers be multiplied for our fellow travelers to that never-ending eternity. Remember the nations of the earth, also the land of Israel. Remember our nation federally, provincially, and locally. Do pour out thy Spirit also upon our community. Lord, in this evening hour, may our help truly be in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth. Open thy word, and do open the hearts, take away everything that could be a hindrance, bind the devil, be a surprising God. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 120, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Judge me, God, of my salvation. Plead my cause for thee, I trust. Hear my earnest supplication. Save me from my foes, unjust, and what follows. Psalter 120, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Zechariah 12, the verses 9 and 10. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Our text words speak of spiritual blessings poured out upon the church by the Spirit. Four thoughts. First, a separated people. Secondly, an earnest supplication. Thirdly, a peer Savior. And in the fourth place, a profound mourning. A spiritual blessing poured out upon the church by the Spirit. A separated people, an earnest supplication, a peer Savior, and a profound mourning. Beloved congregation, the Lord by his almighty hand has given opportunity for the captives in Babylon under the decree of Cyrus to return to the promised land, to the city of Jerusalem in approximately the year 536 B.C. And they have first built themselves houses. And what have they then done? Then we read that in the seventh month, that was the Day of Atonement, they have rebuilt an altar. Do we also need an altar, congregation? Has the Spirit now, by his free and sovereign grace, wrought the need for an altar, all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ? And then after the altar was built, then they have begun to rebuild the temple. And what was now first necessary, I think our boys and girls can understand it. Nebuchadnezzar has burned the temple and the city was a heap of ruins. That it was first necessary that that rubbish, then those ruins, had to be cleared away. Are there souls that understand it? The uncovering and discovering work of the Holy Spirit. Or are we building our salvation? We can speak reformed, speak of a mediator, but building of our salvation upon the ruins. Nevertheless, they have begun with the rebuilding of the temple. And then we read in Ezra 3, verse 12. There we read remarkable things. Ah, the children, the young people, they were so happy. Because their parents have told them, the ancients have told them about the beauty of Solomon's temple. Also our calling. Fathers and mothers. Then we can understand that for the youth they had been very discouraged. But now the Lord has intervened. And the foundation was being laid. And then we read that the younger ones, they were so happy they have sung. And the older ones have cried. Is that a strange matter to us? Because when the Lord begins that good work, then we shall experience both. Blessed are they that mourn, but also a holy joy concerning the service of the Lord. The enemy has come. Read it in Ezra 4, Samaritans and others, and they have written a letter. King Cyrus has died, King Artaxerxes, that the city of Jerusalem was actually a bad and a rebellious city. What a sad testimony from the world. How is it in our life? What does the world say of us? And then for approximately 16 years, a foundation, but the work has come to a standstill. Are there souls that understand it? Believed a foundation, and then it becomes so still. But in that 16 years, that did not mean that people just forgot about that foundation, that people did not walk by it, that there were no tears shed, no exercises concerning that foundation. Nevertheless, for 16 years, it was so still. And I repeat it, does not mean that those Israelites were not thinking, were not exercised with that foundation. Because the Lord is not a land of outer darkness, a forest people. But now to receive those further leadings. And now for that distressful people. Oh, children, you can understand it. Boys and girls, young people. They were so happy when that foundation was being laid. And now it has come to a standstill. That those boys and girls, undoubtedly, they have said, Father and Mother, we have sung. We were so happy. and it seems that it was all wrong. Are there souls that understand it? Fears that it is all wrong. Sometime had I never spoken. Oh, to be given to singing the night watches the praises of the Lord. Given to believe that the Lord is wrought so wonderfully, filled with praise and thanksgiving. And then a foundation covered with dust. Even possible that there were boys and girls that have went in the trench, we talk in our days, and that they have uncovered that dust to make sure that the foundation was still there. But now the Lord, he comes to comfort his Zion, and he has sent two prophets. First Haggai, we read in the 6th month of the 2nd year of King Darius. And then he has prophesied to the children of Israel that they must continue to build, notwithstanding the degree of the enemy. So also the command in God's word, think of Peter. In 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 24 days, they have begun to build. Oh, what a gladness for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And now, and even Haggai has even prophesied in Haggai 2:9, that the glory of this second temple would be greater than the first temple. And why, boys and girls? Why would the glory of the second temple now be greater than the first temple? Because we do never read of the ark again. After Nebuchadnezzar has conquered Jerusalem, oh, that glory would be greater, because in the second temple, there the Lord Jesus Christ would be brought already as a child, and there he would teach as prophet, and there he would be led outside of Jerusalem in his priestly office. And now Zacharias began to prophesy 2 months later, in the 8th month, to comfort and to encourage that people, because you can understand it, boys and girls, that the builders undoubtedly that they have looked in the distance, whether the king of Persia, when he has heard it, that he would come to destroy that work and to destroy that people, and not only the builders. Oh, what a concerns for mothers and children. What a prayers must have been sent up. But the Lord in his goodness and his faithfulness, comfort ye my people. And then he has sent the prophet Zacharias to encourage that people. Oh, we have the night visions, the man on the red horse in the midst of the myrtle trees. We have that surveyor with the tape measure. We would say, boys and girls, in the Bible it is called a line, to measure the city of Jerusalem with the promise that it would be inhabited. Oh, the vision of Joshua the high priest with his filthy garments, speaking of the justification of the sinner. We have the vision of the work of the Holy Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And now in the latter chapters from 9-14, then it speaks of the enemies but also of the Lord's protection over his people. We read of the burden in chapter 9. We have heard of the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. And now our text that speaks about the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That is the chosen people the Lord has chosen and set apart, the children of Israel, to make a name for himself. And now in the Old Testament, that chosen people, that is now a picture and the type of the true people of the Lord, who have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, a separated people. And now the Lord separates his people by that wonderful and astonishing work of regeneration called even a new creation that speaks of a beginning. Young and old, has there now been a beginning in our life that we have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, that we have become new creatures with those new living desires and longings? Oh, the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and then that people is given to learn. Ah, they know what it is to be outside. But our text concerns a separated people. And now, in the first 9 verses, it speaks of the blessings and the privileges that Jerusalem and the inhabitants of David have experienced and shall experience. The wonderful providential care and protection for his people, and when the Lord works, then we shall experience those special providential leadings in itself. Let us not make a foundation of answered prayers and special deliverances. That is too short. We need, by the grace of God, to become a poor sinner, to be saved by the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the wonderful works of the Lord, oh, the enmity against the living church of Jesus Christ, if we read the book of Revelation, then it shall greatly increase. And now concerning this chapter, concerning the first verses, but also the latter verses, then in the first place, then in the context, O children of Israel, the enemy, they shall try to hinder the building of the temple in different ways, but they shall not succeed, because I am king, that almighty king that is all power in heaven and upon earth. Thus, in the first place, in the context, also fulfilled in the year 169 before the birth of Christ, Epiphanius Antiochus has conquered Jerusalem, desecrated the temple, but that the Lord has used the Maccabees to grant a wonderful deliverance. Thus, first in the context, then in the second place, a promise for the New Testament church, the wonderful works of the Lord. In the third place, as a type, because we have stated that in the Old Testament, that Israel is a type of the living, regenerated, separate child of God. And in the fourth place, when we have read it, of the wonderful protection over Jerusalem, of those horses that would not avail. Oh, that many times Jerusalem would be surrounded by those bitter enemies, and yet they would not succeed. Then many a commentator, Matthew Henry, Brackel, and others, then also a prophecy concerning Israel in the latter days when we read these verses. And if we think 1948, when Israel, when the Jews have returned to the promised land, 1967, the war with Egypt, and also the last years, the enmity against Israel, boys and girls, when you look on a map, then it is only a little dot. But Israel may still exist, a proof that there is a God. Our second thought, an earnest supplication. And now we read of special blessings. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. First, we read of the spirit of grace, because the Spirit is the giver of grace. 'Tis the Spirit that makes room for grace. It is the Spirit that reveals grace. It is the Spirit that grants those special graces to embrace grace. Faith, hope, and love, call the Spirit of grace, free and sovereign grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Oh, the wonderful works of the Lord, we read at the beginning of this chapter, but also in verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day. Has that day now ever arrived in our life, young and old? Has there now been a day that the Lord has begun that good work in our heart that we have been wrought upon, that it has all become different? Because that needs to take place. We are traveling to a never-ending eternity. And Christ has said unto Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, blessed that people, it is true. There can be so many riddles and so many questions concerning that day. No, not every child of God knows the exact moment, but they do know that it has become different in their life, that they have learned to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And now in that day, oh, I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Ah, when the Lord works, then we become so jealous of that house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, because then we learn that we stand outside because of our sin. Then we shall experience what it is to be unconverted, and then we shall know what sin is, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And now the spirit of grace and of supplications. Oh, then think of Saul. The Lord has said unto Ananias, behold, he prayeth, oh, as a Pharisee, Then he has prayed many prayers, but now by the grace, the spirit of grace and of supplications, his prayers have become sincere, they have become genuine, they have been born out of a great need. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Ah, then the prayers are multiplied. Then we learn something of the publican. Then we are given to beg the Lord that he may convert us. Ah, that is a wonderful work. When the Lord converts us, then we are in truth. And a brightness began to ask the Lord that he may convert us, as he has converted all thy people. Ah, then the supplications, then they are multiplied because of our sin, that we have sinned so grievously against that good-doing and that holy God. Then the supplications are multiplied. All for, as in the context, when the foundation lies so still, and then when that rebuilding has become the enemies, the assaults, the trials, the difficulties, that church can be so overwhelmed. Ah, then the supplications for a little token of the Lord's favor. Psalm 106, verse 4. Remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and I will pour. Ah, what a precious word, the abundance and the riches. It's true. When we consider the work of the Spirit in Hosea 14, then it is compared to the dew. Ah, for those weary and those drooping plants, under a scorching sun, and then in the morning, during the night watches, when the Lord may come over with a little dew, and her little plant may receive a little refreshment and a little hope. Oh, does it not take place, people of God, at times, that early in the morning that the Lord comes over and that he speaks to our soul? At other times, think of Psalm 65, then the work of the Spirit, and the work of the Spirit is to glorify Christ in the heart of poor sinners. Then it is compared to the rain, the refreshing rain that softens the furrows and that makes the grounds fruitful. But in our text, it is compared to a pouring. Isaiah 32, verse 15, until the Spirit of the Lord be poured upon us. And then the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. The fruitful field shall even be counted as a forest. Oh, that precious promise in Isaiah 44, the verses 3 and 4. Do you know what is written there, parents? Do you know what is written in Psalm 44? Isaiah 44, the verses 3, 4, and 5. And have you ever turned it into a prayer? Where I will pour my spirit upon the thirsty ground, floods upon the dry ground, and also the blessing for our seed. Oh, the spirit of supplication for the pardoning of our sins. Oh, the spirit of supplication, because the Spirit teaches his people that they can never save themselves, that they lie under the curse and under the wrath, and with all their attempts, they are more guilty than ever. Oh, the Spirit of supplication, that they may be given to experience that there is a mediator, that he may be revealed in his necessity, in his suitability, and in his preciousness. Oh, that he is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. The spirit of supplication, oh, that is a sure mark. And it can be so still. People of God, How is it with those supplications? Also in a week of preparation. Or are there no concerns? Are there no needs? Oh, blessed that people. In a week of preparation. That may be bound to the word. That may be bound to the throne. When there may be a little begging. Oh, even for an undeserving sinner, as that Canaanitish woman, Matthew 15, a crumb from the master's table. Oh, the broken bread and the poured out wine can be a people that would even be glad. They may be such a little dog under the table to receive a crumb, and when they may be given to hear and to see who gives that crumb, and more so how that bread of life has been merited. Oh, that is our third thought. Let us first sing Psalter 47, the stanzas 7, 8, and 9. Unnumbered foes would do me wrong. They press about me fierce and strong. Like beasts of prey, they rage their vent. My courage fails, my strength is spent. And what follows? 47, 7, 8, and 9.
Thank you.
spiritual blessings poured out upon the church by the Spirit. As separated people, that is a regenerated people, an earnest supplication also on account of their misery. And now thirdly, a pure Savior that speaks of deliverance. And now in our text words, there is a great perplexity for the Jew. Are there a few Jews in my midst? Or are we all good Christians? That in our mind, a knowledge how the Lord converts his people, maybe a little conviction, a little emotion, and we are settled in our faith and we travel our way. But now the Lord has a people that learned they are a Jew. And now in our text for a Jew, there is special instruction. If a Jew reads this text closely, then if he is honest, he shall come into perplexity. Because the mystery of salvation is declared in our text. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of his chosen church to reveal that mystery. Listen. By that Spirit, Spirit of grace and of supplication, and needs to be an end in our life. We need to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And now we read in our text, and they, that is the house of David and those inhabitants of Jerusalem. And let us add, we entered that city of Jerusalem by a new birth. But now the further leadings, and they shall look, that is by the Spirit. Because the Lord does not do a half a work. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And who is now that me in our text? Well, we read in verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord. For Israel saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. That refers, and when we speak of the Trinity, never separated but distinguished, that speaks of God the Father. And now the Spirit teaches his people vividly that by their sins, as it were, that they pierced the Lord. Genesis 6, verse 6, what profound words, repented and grieved the Lord that he had made man. Then they shall bitterly weep concerning their sins. They learn that their sins cause a separation. They learn the Lord must punish each of their sins. Woe unto me that I have sinned. God be merciful to me, a sinner. But with all that supplication and with that experience, the spiritual teaches people that does not settle the case, that does not pay the debt. Oh, how distressful it becomes. But now the mystery. Oh, they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. So that is a mystery. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall look upon him. Thus me and him, close together, but yet a separation. And that is now the wonder of grace declared for a Jew. A self-righteous Jew. A Jew at enmity with grace. And those true Jews, the one learns more of it than another. The enmity in the heart against free and sovereign grace. And against the crucified Savior. Oh, think of the Jews in the streets of Jerusalem. Crucify him, crucify him. And now the Lord says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. Who was that him? Oh, we would think if we would meet a Jew and say, Jew, read now this text. And give now the honest exposition. Ah, then surely they would run stuck. Of course, they need light. But now what a blessing and what a privilege upon such a Jew. Oh, a Jew that has learned. Think of those Jews on the day of Pentecost, whom ye with wicked hands have taken and slain. The Prince of Life, but he is risen. He is the King. Look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. That is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, that the church and that look. That is another word for true saving faith. Oh, think of John 3, the verses 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him, tis included, for him whom they have pierced. Oh, the mystery of the gospel that is declared for a Jew, that is learned with those Jews on the day of Pentecost, enemies of Christ and of grace, but now the wonder that they have pierced the Lord with their sins. Oh, they have grieved. Ah, when the Spirit works, then what a bitter lamentation there is. And we can never undo what we have done. It is written in God's book. But now the wonderful salvation declared, they shall not only look upon me, but they shall look upon him. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ who has come. Oh, what precious testimonies we read concerning the Son of God. Oh, was it not prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 16, that he would be pierced? Do we not read in Isaiah 53, verse 4, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Oh, do we not read of that precious mediator, that they should look upon him whom they have pierced? John 19, verse 37, and again in other scriptures saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Oh, then when we consider the mediator, oh people of God, see him then, how those crown in John 19, when they have pressed that crown of thorns upon the blessed head of the Savior, that we may look upon him whom they have pierced. Oh, see him then in the hall of in Gabbatha, in the judgment hall. With his stripes we are healed. Oh, see him then on the cross of Calvary. There he was pierced. And then the church now learns. And therefore that bitter morning, and boys and girls, when we think of mourning, oh, it is true. The true child of God, they shed those true and genuine tears on account that they have sinned against that good doing, that they have grieved the Lord. The same with a boy and girl when he has done something bad, when he has hurt the heart of his parents, as it were, that he has pierced them. Ah, when it is right, then they shall become sorrowful. But now in our text it speaks of another knowledge. Ah, when the Spirit works, then we learn the first part. But now it is so necessary, and that is now the continual work of the Spirit. And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Oh, see him then hang on the cross when the soldiers have come. They have broken the legs on the one on the right, on one the left. Oh, then the cross of Christ has made the separation between the one thief that was eternally lost and the other thief that was taken into glory. Oh, young and old, the cross of Christ, that is the distinguishing and the separating mark. And therefore let us not rest outside of that saving knowledge. But now our text words, they were spoken especially to the Jewish people. Oh, what a message for a Jew, for a self-righteous Jew, that still hopes to save himself by his righteousness, but the Spirit shall teach them. Isaiah 64, verse 6, that all our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags, as an unclean thing. But now for a burden, for a hell worthy, for a lost sinner. Oh, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Oh, see then the Savior when the soldiers have come and they have put the spear in his side, and therewith came out blood and water. Oh, the justification and the sanctification of the church. Oh, then we read in Acts 2, verse 23, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Oh, they were pricked in their heart. And now the church learns that it was not the Romans, it was not the Jews, but it is my sins that have nailed that blessed Savior to the cross. Oh, and then it cannot be different. Then there shall be tears, then there shall also be a mourning, because the cross of Christ, oh, that declares in a special way the exceeding sinfulness of sin, but also the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that people, oh, they may weep those tears, and then you must understand it rightly, boys and girls, because there can also be tears of joy, of bewilderment. Think a family circle. Think of a boy and girlfriend living on opposite sides of the world when they leave one another. But when they may see one another by renewal, think of a husband and wife, a thing during wars, when sons, when husbands have left, not knowing whether they would see each other here upon the earth. And when they have returned, what a tears have been shed. Let us mention the example of Joseph in Genesis 45, when he has declared, I am Joseph, whom ye have sold. Do we not read that they have wept, that they have braced one another? Ah, then how bitterly they have wept. Oh, also because those brothers, with profound impressions, what they have done, that they have sold the Zephaninah Peninnah, the Savior of the world and the revealer of secrets. But on the other hand, the love of Joseph, that Joseph did not say, brothers, now for the rest of your life, I must put you in prison, that you may be given to lament what you have done. No. Joseph was governor, and then he has sent those brothers to Jacob. Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Our forethought, a profound mourning. We read the word mourn or mourning 5 times in the verses 10 through 14. Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Our congregation, when we read in our text, when we are given to live in that we have pierced, as it were, the Lord, by our sins, shall there then not be times that the tears that we are given to weep, oh, we try to hide them. Oh, in former days. About 20 years ago, I spoke to a minister of another denomination. He had become old. And then he stated, when I began to preach, many, many years ago in the city of Toronto, oh, then many times you saw many weeping souls in God's house. And he said, today, the general rule, are still exceptions. Then it has become so dry. But young and old, when it becomes reality, when it all becomes reality in our life, and divine realities are impressed upon our hearts, when we are given to live in the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and that in continuance, ah, those times and moments, it is true, ah, there are times that people has to beg for a tear and for a soft heart. But also in the further way, in Romans 7, when Paul is given to unburden his heart, oh, wretched man, do you think that was said in a cold way? No, in that further uncovering, there shall also be those times, oh, ashamed, confounded. Can be times that a child, to say it reverently, feels sorry for the Lord, for such a wayward child, so slow to learn, so unthankful. Ah, that evil that lives within. But now we have in our text, oh, a mourning, when they are given to behold him whom they have pierced. And that is therein they are given to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, but also the unfathomable and matchless love of the Savior, who is willing to give himself, who is willing to be pierced, who is willing to shed his blood. And now, concerning that mourning, oh, it is written in our text, that is a deep and a profound mourning. Because then in these text words, then the prophet is given to use daily examples to describe that morning, how deep, how profound, how genuine, and how real that morning is. Because we read, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. Oh, us, the mourning families in our midst, who have brought a child to the grave that morning, the bitterness of that morning. And when we speak of that morning, then there are two elements. On the one hand, the intensity, and on the other hand, the continuance. Have been examples that at a funeral, there was one that has wept so bitterly, more bitterly than all the rest. And it has happened with those that soon their heart was hardened, and that they have become harder than before. But now, oh, what profound example that the prophet gives concerning that true and that genuine mourning. They shall mourn over him whom they have pierced as one that has lost the firstborn, one that has lost the eldest. Think of that bitter mourning. In the land of Egypt on the night of the Passover, when Egypt was awakened, and the parents, they have experienced also husbands, that many firstborns, oh, what a bitter mourning. Thus our text declares the reality of the matter. And then we have stated 2 points, intensity together with a continuance. Ah, the child of God shall know what it is to weep those tears, because Christ has said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, concerning our text words, then the prophet has already given direction in the 9th chapter. Ah, for that church that could be so cast down, where it seems to be so impossible, where their sins rise up against them, when the enemy seems to come and put everything to a standstill and to destroy. Ah, then concerning that piercing in our text, then the prophet has already declared, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Jerusalem. And who do we tell to rejoice? Happy people we do not have to tell, and a happy Christendom. But now for that people that can be so distressed, and the Lord shall continue to uphold. Ah, the Lord shall grant those tokens of his favor. But the Lord has a church that has no solution, that need the pardoning of their sins, that cannot live with a maybe or a perhaps, but they need to experience what is written in our text, the spirit of grace and of supplication. They have pierced me, but they shall also look. Ah, that is that true saving faith that the Spirit works. A revealed Savior to be given to behold him in his necessity, in his suitability, and in his preciousness. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious. But now in that revelation, oh, to consider the love of Christ, the dowry that he has paid, to be given to experience my sins. It is typified by the broken bread and the poured out wine. Ah, for a Jew that does not know how to be saved, where it is also hidden and so covered. Ah, Martin Luther has experienced, and he has said later, if you cut the heart of Martin Luther, the Pope still lives there. Ah, the church knows what it is. But now that bitter mourning, But then already the prophet has said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, the king cometh unto thee." And then in our first point, we have heard of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is just. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and heaven salvation, that is the Savior, whom the church is pierced by their sins lowly, and riding upon an ass and then upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Oh, then we read further of that great morning in the following text. In that day shall there be a great morning in Jerusalem, as the morning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. What is the prophet referring to? He was referring to King Uzziah. Oh, boys and girls, that was that blessed king that has begun to seek the Lord when he was 16 years old. Oh, my dear friends, have you now begun to seek the Lord who is so worthy to be served? Ah, the preciousness of the service of the Lord. And if you may be given to weep those tears, bitter sweet tears, then you shall be ruined for the world. And therefore, young people, oh, do seek the Lord. Seek it not in the world, but now that King Uzziah. Oh, he was privileged to serve as king from his 8th year to his 39th. But then he was slain by Necho, the king of Egypt. And then it is specifically mentioned that in the land of Israel, there was a great mourning. We even read that it has become an ordinance that they have remembered the day of the death of King Uzziah, that people was given to mourn that the Lord has taken a great one among Israel, a king that desired the welfare of that people. Ah, then there was such a great and a bitter mourning because he was the last God-fearing king, and then they would be taken into captivity. Thus a great and bitter mourning. Thus the prophet clearly declares the work of the Lord in the heart of a sinner. Oh, would there be more of that mourning, that tender, that close life, vivid impressions of sin, but also of the grace as it is in a triune God, and then shall be experienced in particular. And the land shall mourn, every family apart. What a word of examination, boys and girls. Is there now such a mourner in your family? Says every family apart. We cannot do it with an other. It's a personal matter, but also a blessing. Oh, our text words, they have been fulfilled in a special way on the day of Pentecost. Boys and girls, is there now a mourner in your family? I shall change the question. Have you now become a mourner? Have you learned to cry over your sins, to cry concerning a jealousy, concerning the people of God, given to weep because of his goodness, because of his long suffering, but now above all, because there is that end in our text words, and now concerning the Lord's Supper, there needs to be that end, that there is a knowledge of the Savior in his necessity, suitability, and his preciousness. Every family, we must close. Every family apart. Then there are different families named. We shall not explain it. And then it also speaks and their wives apart. Thus needful for husband, for the wife. Of course, there's also family prayer. But when the Lord's work, then you find those souls in secret. And not to come as a Pharisee with a face full of tears, know then that people shall wash, but there are times that they cannot hide their tears. With those profound impressions, all the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart, must close. How is it with our tears? Many tears on this earth. We could gather all the tears together that have been shed in this day. Then surely we would have a stream or a river. But most of the tears, they are on account of the consequences of sin or the fear of the punishment of sin. But now the tears which the Lord gathers in his bottle, they are because of the character of sin and because of the love of God. We shall close with a solemn text. Word is written concerning the inhabitants of the earth. When Christ comes upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead, then we shall see the glorified King as judged. Pierced hands, pierced feet, a pierced sight. And then we read, know in Revelations 1 verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, every boy or girl, every older one, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, those are the unconverted, they shall wail because of him. Then it shall be too late. Today is still the day of grace. Oh, may we be given to earnestly beg of the Lord. All kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of a wonderful word. And who was able to declare it all. But, Lord, it was a word in the first place for the Jew. May Jews in our midst, may they be instructed, uncovered. And not only look upon me, but to look upon him whom the church is pierced with their sins. Ah, Lord, grand preparation for the coming Lord's Day, when the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered, the broken bread and the poured out wine. Give what we cannot give unto ourselves. give what we cannot give unto our neighbor. But we are called to ask for it. I will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Lord, watch over us in this night. Keep us the remainder of this week. Return us to thy house on the Lord's day. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, let us sing 400, only 4 and 5. Heaven and earth the Lord created, seas and all that they contain, and what follows, Psalter 400, only 4 and 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.